The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's The Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Nanka and Manisha Tank with you. Over the weekend, all eyes were on the UK. Parliament held their first sitting on a Saturday for 37 years.
Yes, it was momentous. And this was because early last Thursday, UK time, Prime Minister Boris Johnson finally agreed to an alternative Brexit deal with the EU. Yet Saturday turned out to be somewhat of an anticlimax, as instead of MPs voting on Boris's deal, they instead voted in favour 322 to 306 of an amendment seeking another extension. I'm sure he didn't see that coming.
Oh, for sure. Well, the bill that was tabled by Tory MP Oliver Letwin said Parliament would withhold approval of the Prime Minister's deal until the withdrawal bill implementing Brexit has been passed. Letwin says the amendment provides insurance against crashing out without an agreement on October 31st.
Now, this meant that Prime Minister Boris Johnson was required by law to ask the EU for an extension to January 31st, 2020. And now we know previously the PM has said that he would rather be dead in a ditch, he actually did say that, than ask for an extension. So instead, he sent a request to the EU for a delay to Brexit, but without his signature. Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And you know what? The request was accompanied by a second letter, which was signed by Boris, saying he believes a delay would be a mistake. So one with the signature, one without.
Yeah. Even so, the government says it will push ahead with efforts to pass its Brexit deal. But Boris Johnson's hopes of winning a clear majority for his Brexit plan currently faces a few threats.
Oh, for sure. That's as opposition party Labour declared that it would seek the backing of rebel Conservatives and Northern Ireland's Democratic Unionist Party, or DUP, for amendments that would force him to drop the deal or accept a softer Brexit. Well, joining us on the line to help give us some analysis on this is a good friend of ours, Chris Humphrey, Executive Director at the EU-ASEAN Business Council. Chris, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, Elliot. How are you?
Not too bad. Pretty satisfied with Manchester United's 1-1 draw. I guess you are too.
Yes. Some cheerful news from the UK.
Yes. Hey, Chris, it's Manisha here. You know, it would be lovely to digress to the football because that would cheer everybody up quite a bit, depending on the teams. But perhaps we can get to this Letwin bill. Perhaps could you please explain it to us in a bit more detail and why you think it was so appealing to many MPs at what is a crucial time?
The Letwin amendment really was a technical amendment to force the government to bring forward the necessary legislation to support the deal that Boris Johnson claims he came back with from Brussels. And I think the feeling amongst many MPs was we need to see the full extent of legislation, the full extent of the deal, before we can say yes or no to it. So the whole point of that amendment was to make the government bring forward everything that's needed to support the deal and get it through Parliament before the actual final meaningful vote, the yes or no vote on the deal itself. And I think that's also partly a question of, do we quite trust this government at the moment to get everything done rather than trying to crash out without a deal? And is there enough time to get everything done to prevent a no-deal crash out as well? And I think it was a bit of those two issues that meant that amendment came forward on Saturday.
Okay. Then we have Prime Minister Boris Johnson sending an extension request to the EU, but he didn't sign it. And then he signed a second letter saying he believes a delay would be a mistake. So could the PM be in contempt of Parliament or perhaps the courts by sending a second letter to the EU that's contradicting the first? Is there any action that can be taken against him?
That was a bit churlish, wasn't it, not to sign one and sign the other one? Honest about life. I rather suspect there could be some challenges through the UK courts this week related to the deal and related to him effectively trying to circumvent the Bent Act by sending the second letter. And I'll be very surprised indeed if some of the Remainers in the UK aren't taking legal advice at the moment. There's also another part of the UK legislation out there which was dealing with the status of Northern Ireland in or out of the European Customs Union, which some think the deal may be in breach of as well. So I would expect two or three legal challenges during the course of this week.
Meanwhile, Chris, if you're on the European Union side, I mean, how on earth do you react? How do you respond? Do you take on board Boris Johnson's request to leave on October 31st, or do you respect Parliament's wishes for an extension? And how do you manage these two letters that you've just received?
I think there's probably a high degree of incredulity in Brussels at the moment. A lot of frustration, I suspect, as well. Like, can we please get this saga over and done with? The same as you're finding in the UK, one way or the other, can we get this thing out of the way. But I believe they will grant the extension. And they'll probably grant an extension that says, here's your extension to the 31st of January, or if you pass all the legislation to support the deal that's currently on the table. Because it's in no one's interest. It's not in the UK's interest, and it's not in the EU's interest for there not to be a deal, and for the UK to crash out without a deal. And that's why I think the EU27 will say, yes, okay, here's your extension. They'll probably bill it as a technical extension while the UK sorts out its own legislative procedures.
Chris Humphrey, Executive Director of the EU ASEAN Business Council, on the line with us. It looks like more kicking the can down the road, but hypothetically, do you think Boris Johnson has the numbers to get his Brexit bill approved? I mean, what's the likelihood that he might be able to take the UK out of the EU by October 31st? I know you mentioned it's about getting it done in time. 10 days, that's what we're talking about.
Right. Well, there are a few things there. Does he have the numbers? I think that's very, very tight. He probably has a better chance than Theresa May had with her deal. He's probably got slightly fewer rebels to worry about, and he's some people on the Labour side who would vote with him. A few independents who will vote with him, but it's extremely tight, and it's going to come down to one or two votes either way. And a lot will depend upon any amendments that are being tabled during the course of this week in Parliament when he brings forward the EU withdrawal bill. If there are amendments around a second referendum, around customs union status, around timing and issues, it's going to be quite tight. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of arm twisting going on amongst MPs. But even if he had the numbers, getting everything done and completed before October 31st, that's a very, very tall order. Even if he had a good majority, just pushing the legislation through in that time span is going to be very, very tight. And it'll probably involve Parliament having to sit through the weekend again next weekend, working through the night as well.
Yeah, I wondered about that, Chris. Obviously, things will have to be ratcheted up quite considerably. What can we expect for the rest of the week then?
More high drama, more close votes, legal challenges in courts, lots of long speeches, lots of accusations. It won't be a dull week in British politics this week, I think that's for sure. And there'll be some very, very tight votes. And I think every day we'll be glued to our TV sets, wondering what on earth's going on, rather enjoying the show in some sort of morbid way. But it will not be a dull week, that's for sure.
Chris, I've got an extremely hypothetical question that just popped into my head. Is it possible to take a page out of Donald Trump's book where the US-China trade war is concerned, and please don't laugh at me, have some form of a partial Brexit to start things off?
No, you can't really have a partial Brexit, although arguably the deal he came back with from Brussels affected that. The deal was, we're going to leave on October 31st, and over the ensuing 14 months, we'll negotiate a proper, longer-lasting trade arrangement with you. So we're going to pull out, have a transition period, whilst we sort out what the real deal actually is. So I suppose you could argue that was partly a partial Brexit.
Okay.
I just want to mention, before we say bye to you, Chris, the standout quote on Saturday for me was MP Peter Bone, who was so frustrated that it had ruined his birthday and he hadn't had any cake. I really feel for him. It has been quite high drama, hasn't it?
important topics.
Exactly. Yeah.
Chris Humphrey, Executive Director of the EU ASEAN Business Council, on the line with us. Chris, thanks so much for taking the time this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks very much indeed, guys. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.